Welcome to Radio Sefarad's English Corner. I'm your host, Linda Jimenez, bringing news and other features of Jewish interest to Radio Sefarad's English-speaking audience in Spain and around the world. Our trivia question for this week is, about how many Jewish cemeteries were there in Spain at the time of the expulsion in 1492, and how many communities did they serve? Dominique Tomasoff Blinder was born in New York and raised in Buenos Aires, Argentina, where she earned a master's degree in architecture from the University of Buenos Aires. Her professional experience includes work in Argentina, the United States, and Spain. Since 1991, she's lived in Barcelona, where she was a founding member of ATID, the conservative Jewish community there. Since 1999, she's been dedicated to the study, preservation, dissemination, and advocacy of Jewish heritage. In 1999, she created the Urban Kulturs Project and was also the co-founder of the Heritage Commission of the Jewish Communities of Catalonia and of the Center of Studies Zahor for the Protection and Transmission of Jewish Heritage. One of her main areas of interest is the identification and preservation of ancient Jewish cemeteries in Spain, and she was instrumental in achieving landmark designation for the Middle Ages Jewish Cemetery in Barcelona. In previous programs, she spoke with us about Jewish history in Barcelona and its present-day Jewish community. This week, she's speaking with us about ancient Jewish cemeteries in Spain, and especially the one on Montjuïc, Barcelona's Jewish mountain. Thank you very much for speaking with us today, Dominique. You have done a lot of work for many years with the old Jewish cemeteries in Spain. Can you tell us a little bit about how you got involved in that and what exactly has been done, maybe where there are cemeteries? I know that some towns are discovering their cemeteries in very recent times.
Good afternoon, Linda. I'm very happy to talk to you again. Thank you for inviting me. Yes, I sometimes wonder what got me to get involved in this topic. And the answer is maybe I want to get a room with a view when I'm beyond somewhere else, or I don't want to be there ever. Well, I arrived in Barcelona in 1992. One, to work as an architect, and I get involved in the local Jewish community, and I start observing the world around me with some Jewish eyes, we can say, because this is not a city, Barcelona, it's not a city that I have any connection with. And Spain is not a country I have any connection with. My grandparents are from Russia, from Belarus and Ukraine, but you know, you start looking and see where you belong. Is there anything that relates to you or that you relate with and you connect with? And I realized in those days that there's an immense Jewish history in this country because Jews, depending what regions, in what areas of the peninsula, but in some areas, Jews had been here for 1,500 years before the expulsion by Isabel and Ferdinand, the Catholic kings. So you start looking around, you don't see much. What are the traces? What are the hints? How can you tell there was a Jew ever here, you know, that they lived in this city? And, all right, I start preparing my discourse to my lines to be able to explain, understand this history and explain this history at the same time. And at some point, I learned that Jewish cemeteries are found during construction. I don't remember what sparked it, but it was some finding of a cemetery during the construction of a sports center or something like that. And I was shocked to read anything about it from the archaeological point of view, what they found and the bones and that there are no tombstones. And I already understood that in our tradition, in Jewish tradition, we bury until the end of times. We don't touch the graves once people are placed there because it's their journey to the afterworld or it's their house for eternity. These are all the translations of the names of the for cemeteries, Beth Almim. And I started to connect this interest in showing anything Jewish from 10 times back to attract tourism, and this lack of interest to taking the cemeteries and respecting them for what they are. What are they? They're not archaeological sites. Those cemeteries are holding the bodies of people who once lived here, and they have not been used in the sense of there had been no more burials in them, but people are still resting there. Archaeologists would say, but you know, you haven't buried in more than 200 years. You have no connection with these lands. And you're not Sephardi, you're not Spanish, you're not from the Middle Ages, you're not archaeologist. I mean, I have received all sorts of commentaries because I took a strong interest in seeing what can we do to protect these places and integrate them in the story telling about the Jews in that city. The Jewish quarter in Seville, for instance, you go there today, and the whole urban layout is modern because that part of town had a fire. Everything was destroyed. They had to build it again, and they built a grid. All the houses are, you know, less than 200 years old. But the cemetery was also destroyed in a couple of times. But in other cities, the cemeteries are still there. So in Barcelona, there was an opportunity to be more proactive. When we read in the newspapers in 2006 that Barcelona city government was planning some improvements on a hill that has the name Montjuïc,
which means
Mount of the Jews. And this is the name the hill got, according to the records we have in archives, the oldest piece of paper. Where you read the word Montjuïc is the sale of a property that is placed on Montjuïc, and this is 890-something. And there's a reference, a little indirect, that Jews are burying on their cemetery on that hill since the mid-800s. And the hill is still called Montjuïc, and Montjuïc is our Central Park today. So the Central Park is beautiful. There's lots of places to walk through, to do, you know, sightsee, etc. There are sports facilities, culture centers, gardens. And there was a piece that needed to be... It needed a facelift, let's say. It needed to be treated because it looked like no man's land. And the city announced a garden plus a restaurant plus some public toilets. With another architect from my congregation, from Congregation Atid, we decided to approach the city planning commission, urban commission, and ask for explanations about the scope of that work, because we were concerned that maybe underground there would be some graves, since next to this plot, when they built a shooting club, a shooting range, they found graves in 1940s. Graves, bones. They found bones and very few tombstones. And the explanations were really shocking. They said, we do know there are graves because in preparation for these improvements, we did some research. We asked archaeologists to dig in a small area, as a sample area, and the graves are so far down that we figured out that we can build and run the plumbing and do the foundations all above the graves, respecting your dead. Your audience, I hope, is above 18. When they mentioned this, you know, like a billboard crossing my forehead, I saw written in, you know, dots, red dots, an expression that's very typical in Spain when you want to say, I couldn't care less, which, you know, I don't give a damn. And the expression I will translate is, I shit on your dead. You know the expression, me cago en tus muertos. Mm-hmm. It's very tough. It's very strong. We both thought this is not the right respect for the site. There was no intention to acknowledge that that's where the Jews buried, and that's why the hill is called like that. So with the help with a wonderful archaeologist, we went for a petition to the government of Catalonia to designate the area where bones were found here or there, so a larger area than the one that this intervention was going to be done. as a historical site, a landmark site, historical site. And this petition we prepared, we put together the backup information, documents to justify why it deserves to be called like that. It was endorsed by the congregations. In those days, there were three congregations, the Orthodox, ours, which is conservative, and Chabad Lubavitch, and this archaeologist and ourselves, we signed, and 3 years later, they called this site. They gave it the designation of a historical site. So we have no restaurants, we have no toilets, we have no garden, we have no sign, we have nothing. It's like, you want it, nothing to be touched, there you go. It's still there waiting for some memorial, some dignifying way of telling people who see the site that that's where the Jewish community buried. With my colleague, we established a research center through which, with a grant from the Rothschild Foundation, we could do thorough research in property records, and we were able to come up with a proposal of the actual size of the cemetery without opening it, just based on property records. And we submitted that to the government of Catalonia to see if they want to revise the outline of the area that was designated a historical landmark.
So have they answered you, and are there any plans for doing anything there, even if it's only some kind of designation so people know what's there?
No, next time you come to Barcelona, we'll go to order one of these metal plates that doctors put on the door of their office. We'll put it there on the fence. We go together and we do a little intervention. No, they have not answered, and the government has changed often, I think 3 times since 2008, the municipal government, because the regional government designates the landmarks and the municipal government has to act on them. They have to hire someone to do a monument or whatever. It's their responsibility, their scope, their area. So I meet with the new person in charge of the departments of landmarks and public spaces. And in general, I get a smile and I hear that we already opened this little museum. It's like, we gave you already. Don't ask for more. It's not on any range of any list, not even on the top, not even at the bottom of any list. It's not a priority. There is someone in that office now who is an architect and has been following my work and believes that that needs to be dignified. And we'll see what he can do, because as you probably know, in Catalonia, there's lots of issues, political issues. Right now there is a government. We were very unstable for a while. We are unstable with politics, so these are not very important matters to address. I would like to see something happen in the next 4 or 5 years, because if they approve to do something, it will be the next term in office to call a competition or something like that for the following office to produce something, because it takes a while. But as long as it's not touched, I think it's better. At least it's resting. Now, my hope, if you ask me if I have a dream, I do. In Spain, there were approximately 100 cemeteries in 100 locations. The communities were taking care of burial for their people and people in other towns around, because there was Jewish life in about 600 locations. 100 of them managed the cemetery. This is something, it's out of the blues, because we don't really know, but historians had been saying that there's no more than 100. And in fact, I did a little exercise of looking for information where, in what town was there a cemetery. I was able to mark a Google map with, I think, 90 of them. 10 of those 90 are already, like Barcelona, Girona, clearly identified, or they had been found and destroyed in long time ago, or they had been turned into a museum space, like in Lucena near Cordoba. And the other 80, it's not so difficult to get a group in each area of people, researchers or amateurs, because there is a remainder memory of the Jewish cemetery was at the end of that road, if you know what I mean. Montjuïc is a Catalan word. There are other Montjuïcs in Catalonia. calling that Mount of the Jews. In other parts of the country, the names may be different, are different, definitely, but there's reference in the property records, because you see, you look at a property, it's touching on the north with the old Jewish cemetery. And those references are what allowed us to define the outline of the cemetery when we don't have the deed for the cemetery itself. And my wish, my dream would be to have a good inventory and just a little fence, nice grass, not much money invested, and talk about those who once had a life and allowed us to come to the world that someone else prepared for us. Because we arrive in a city, whether we are born or we arrive as immigrants, the world existed before we came, and someone did that, made that, and contributed to that. All those people resting there, plus all the other who were not Jewish, obviously, helped us have the world we have today.
This is a very big job. Who else is working on it with you? Are there other people interested in other parts of Spain?
No, because the interest is to do archaeology, to dig, to do DNA. Even Jewish people every now and then ask me, have they done DNA on those bones? Look, my personal position does not matter much. Why do I say this? Because I think they should not be touched. There's always the possibility of opening a grave in 20 years, in 40 years, in 100 years. The bones will still be there because bones last too long. They found bones of prehistoric people in different areas in Spain. Take too long to disappear. And because of the respect that the tradition deserves, it's a tradition still practiced by Jews around the world. But what I wanted to do, I mean, that's my intention. It can be seen indeed like being a contrary to science. Because I'm not the one to make the decision, my interest has been to make noise, to call attention on issues that need care, careful attention, and that cannot be decided unilaterally. Because my point was that archaeologists, when they find something, they notify their city government. The city governments have to know to talk to the local community. If there is no local community, there is a federation of Jewish communities. And you have to sit down and see, are we going to, if the federation decides we are going to give a few bodies to science, I'm not going to say you're wrong. I don't have any word about that. I only know there is a Jewish institution, like an establishment. There's a Jewish people are around the world. These are traditions that have been kept for many hundreds and thousands of years. So one thing that happened is that the Federation and the government signed a protocol. It's not a law. It's a protocol by which the Federation will be allowed to remove the bones. And in Toledo, this is what happened. The last 70 persons, there may have been some hahamim or some rishonim, we don't know, Jewish persons in that cemetery, were removed because the school was expanding. So when they built the school, they found bones also. We don't know about it. It happened too long ago. And the bones are buried somewhere else. I don't think that's the right solution, because if you start removing bones and putting them somewhere else, all of a sudden your cemetery, which represents the neighborhood where the Jews who once lived are buried, will be a Swiss cheese. And it cannot transmit an entity. How can you say you make a replica of the cloisters in New York and you don't know what context the cloisters were in? You have no way of telling the story. Well, soon we're going to tell stories on iPads and iPhones. But as long as we have the places, I think it's very important to see the markings on the ground, the footprints on the ground, because human life history is told by how people occupy territory. Where do they live? Where do they work? Where do they fight? Where do they plant? Where do they travel to? That's how you move around the land of this earth where we are living.
Is there anything else you would like to add that we might have left out?
No, Linda, it's fine. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
That's it for this week. As always, we'd love to hear from you. So please email us any comments or suggestions or questions you'd like us to answer on the air. Our address is EnglishCorner@RadioSefarad.com. See you next week.